Yeah. Thanks, guys. Welcome. Coffee House, welcome. We're so glad you're here with us as well. Well, it's an honor to be with you today. If you want to, go ahead and open your Bibles to Song of Solomon. We're going to preach through the entire book. Just kidding. Thanks for laughing before I told you that was a joke. I am excited to be with you today, though. It is an honor. If we've not met, my name is Charlie. I am the student director here at The Bridge. I absolutely love being with you guys, and I'm excited about today. And they say it's Young Communicator Sunday, though my hairline and eyesight don't show it. I am young, and one of my favorite parts of every Sunday is being in the lobby. And I see you guys as you're walking up to me, your brain's turning, wondering, like, how do I greet this guy? Do I give him a handshake, or is it a fist bump, or I got it. You know, the fist bump explosion, or the hand back clap, whatever you do, I want to give you, Kurt, whatever you do, don't worry, I'm going to meet you there. I'm going to even shake your fist bump. So don't sweat it. Meet me in the middle. We'll make it happen. A little bit about me, man. I have been in Tennessee for a while. The best part of me is this right here, my family. That's not me. That's Christoph. He'll be preaching later at 5:30. You should come back and hear him and his amazing wife. That's my family. A little more white, so it makes sense. This is absolutely the best part about my life. My wife and my family, we have a lot of fun. Though this is what our life normally looks like. Everyone in tears, including me and my wife. That's because life is busy. Life is always moving. There's something happening. In the 6 years we've been married, we've moved four times, had four dogs, four horses, two cats, had two cats, RIP Elsa. But life has been busy and lots has happened. And honestly, it's a lot of fun and it's exciting, but life isn't always that way, right? There have been seasons of our life where life wasn't fun. Life wasn't exciting. Life was, honestly, we felt stuck kind of where we were. I grew up in a little small town, Verbena, Alabama. And in Verbena, Alabama is one of those places that you never leave. You know, you're born there, you die there. Your grandparents are born there, they die there. You know, it's forever. When I go home to see my family and my friends, I always look at them. I'm like, man, you are trapped here. You know, some of my friends are trapped there because of decisions they've made. Some are trapped there because people they've attached themselves to. And some have chosen to be there. But I always look and go, man, you're trapped. You're stuck in this place. And when I come home, on that drive home, I always think, God, thank you so much that I'm not trapped. How horrible would that be? How rough? That's the worst life ever. You are stuck there. That would literally be the worst. And I always think it. I'm glad I'm not trapped there. But then God in his goodness always reminds me that I have been trapped in my life. And I find myself trapped over and over. And he reminds me of times. And honestly, when I was little, I knew I wanted to be a preacher. I always knew that's what I wanted to do. As a matter of fact, this one Christmas, I was five, I got this really cool Batman castle. But the best part of it is I realized if you stood it up on its end, it was like a podium. And I'd set my Bible up there and I'd preach the fire out the wall, man. Paint be dripping. At least that's how I remember it. And like, I always loved it, man. I'd just be in my room just going at it. I always knew that's what I wanted to do. And God allowed me to kind of step into that in my life. But in 2010, a few short years into a ministry career, I made some life decisions that would cause me to step out of that. And I would be trapped outside of my calling. In 2014, I found myself in a different place, working in the corporate world, very financially well off. And you're like, how's that a bad thing? Well, over time, I began to become very greedy, and that's all I cared about. And so now my trap is different. Because of my greed, because of my sin, all I want is more. I want more and more, and I found myself trapped because of greed. And from 2016 to now, God has allowed me to be a part of some big things, big churches, big services, big events, big ministries, big callings. I'm like, I began to think, wow, look at me. Look how big I've become. My Batman castle and me, we're preaching everywhere now. Like, this is great. I've done big things. And once again, God reminded me and began to humble me. But because of my ego, I once again found myself trapped because of my decision, stuck somewhere that maybe I didn't want to be. And these are only a few places I've been trapped. If we were to go through all the ways I've been trapped as a husband, father, parent, friend, colleague, all this stuff, it'd be a 10-week series. We'd be here too long. And they told me to keep it under 90 minutes. So we don't have time for that, but we've all been stuck in places. And the point is, as I survey my life, I find that trap after trap after trap, I found myself in, stuck. And many of you today, you found yourself in maybe similar traps or ones of your own, but you found yourself stuck. Maybe the job you work doesn't quite pay enough money. And so because of that, you're trapped in overtime and debt, just trying to get ahead in life. Or maybe it's the marriage you're in. The person you married is no longer there. Maybe you're not the person you once were. And now you're trapped in this marriage because of commitments. Maybe you're in school and the degree you chose or the friends you've picked aren't leading you in the best directions. And so you found yourself trapped in those environments where your 401k isn't as far ahead as it was supposed to be at this age. And because of that, you're trapped working, thinking, God, where are you at? Why am I still doing this? But no matter where you are, I'm sure at some point in life you found yourself trapped in a situation. Whether you chose to be there or not, you found yourself trapped in your environment. Right now, here's what I need you to do. I need you to look at your neighbor, and I need you to say, we've all been trapped. All the introverts in the room said, I'm trapped in this conversation right now. But here's the good news, man. One of my favorite things about church is it's a place where we're gonna speak truth. And not just from a stage, I think we're called to speak truth to one another. So five times today, I'm gonna ask you to look at your neighbor and speak truth. So I don't care if you're uncomfortable or not, I want you to look at them and speak truth like you believe it, because your neighbor probably needs that word you're gonna speak to them, all right? So that's what we're gonna do. You'll hear it a bunch, speak the truth. So now we're all so encouraged. We all know we've been trapped or stuck or in the wrong position, you're dismissed. Just kidding. That'd be horrible though, wouldn't it be? If we found ourselves trapped and God just said, that's it. That's the end of your story. Since you're trapped, never mind. I can't do anything anymore. But that's not the case at all. As a matter of fact, we know that's where God is able to do what he does, shine in a way like never before. So we're actually gonna be in Exodus 14. If you want to, go ahead and pull out your Bibles and turn there. Just a little bit of context of what's happening. We're going to pick up with God talking to the Israelites. And the Israelites have just left Egypt. The plagues have happened. Moses has come. He's rescued them. They are on their way to the promised land. And I find it interesting that the story starts here. The Israelites are escaping from what they escaped to. And so many of us, that's how it works in life. You know, so what happened was the Israelites didn't feel like they had enough. So at one point in time, they actually escaped to Egypt. And then leadership and time would change. They would become enslaved in Egypt and need to escape in the first place. And many of you, the trap you're in today is because you what you thought you could get freedom from has now enslaved you. You escaped that secret addiction for freedom, but now you're a slave to it. You escaped that secret affair, but now you're enslaved to it. You escaped that job so you can make more money, but you're enslaved to it. Where you thought you could find freedom, you've actually found slavery. But God's starting to work. He's moved them out of that trap into something else, and God is doing something in their life because God cares too much about you to leave you where you're at. Same for the Israelites. So we're going to pick up right here in verse 1 of chapter 14. Then the Lord said to Moses, tell the people of Israel. Man, can I just point out right off the bat that God said, tell the people, plural, multiple, because they weren't walking through alone. The greatest lie the devil tells most of you, even today as you sit in here, is that you're the only one dealing with your sin. You're the only one dealing with your problems. You're the only one stuck in that place. And that's a lie. That's not the truth at all. God says that we are walking through together. God said, tell the people we are walking through together. So I want you to look at your neighbor and say, I will go through with you. Man, because you aren't alone. You need to know that you aren't walking through alone. Let's keep reading in this passage. Then the Lord says to Moses, tell the people of Israel to turn back and encamp in front of Pihahiroth, between Migdol and the sea, in front of Baal-zephon. You shall encamp facing it by the sea. Man, I find it interesting that as soon as they leave, the Lord says, turn back. See, they were headed in the best route to make it to their destination, the promised land. And immediately we see the Lord say, turn back. And not only turn back, he wants them to go the wrong direction. He wants them to go south, the exact opposite direction of where they should be headed. And at this point, they found themselves wedged in between their past and their future that they've been promised. They're wedged in between two mountains, a sea, and their enemy. And right now they see no way to move forward. They see no way to move into the next thing. And that's what's so interesting about how God works, because God never allows you to pick your own escape route. right? God is working on an escape route, but it's not up to you. 1 Corinthians says it like this: no temptation is overtaking you that is not coming to man. God is faithful, and he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. But with the temptation, he will also provide the way of escape, that you may be able to endure it. See, because when God brings you out of something, you don't get to pick that escape route. So here you are, you're moving away from the trap, you're moving away from the slavery, the addiction, the problem, and right into it, one step out, God says, turn back and wait. And I know many times in my life, that's how moving from one problem feels. You're going from one problem to the next. Slavery to the sea. I'm still stuck. What's the difference? But right away, we see what God is doing. Let's keep reading in this. God says, for Pharaoh will say to the people of Israel, they are wandering in the land. The wilderness has shut them in. And right away, the first one to spot them is their enemy. And again, like us, that's how life looks, right? You take one step towards freedom. Who's the first one to see you? It's the devil. He sees what's happening. Man, you're going to experience trials and hurt again. You'll experience fear and pain again. But God places you here for a reason. And you're thinking, what's that reason? Here's what it is. God said, and I will harden Pharaoh's heart, and he will pursue them. And I will get glory over Pharaoh and all of his host, and the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord. And they did so. See, because even in the midst of feeling trapped, God is doing something right in the middle of their situation where they're stuck. We see God moving. That's because in the trap, there is a plan. In that trap, there is a plan. God is working something out. And we know this statement to be true, but it doesn't always seem that way, does it? See, because this journey, it should have only taken them 11 days to get to the promised land. And it would end up taking them 40 years. And isn't that the truth? We want to get somewhere the fast way. We want to get there the quickest route. We don't want to go the long way. We want to go the short way. It's like the gym. I want muscles, but I don't want to go to the gym every day. It's not going to work out. We're not worried about the process. We're worried about the results. We just want to get to where we're going. But scripture tells us the Lord is not slow to fulfill his promises, but there will be a process in getting there, right? He's working on something. We see in John 16, he says, I have said these things to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world. Jesus is saying, it's gonna be painful. It's gonna be a process. There are gonna be things you experience, but I have overcome that. And that's what God is saying to them and many of you today. There is a lot of pain going on. Your problem is right in front of you. There is something that's got you trapped exactly where you are, and you can't move forward. And it's not easy to be there. I don't know about you, but I'm always encouraged when I look at God's people and they're freaking out. It gives me hope that maybe there's a chance for me. You know, maybe I'm going to make it after all. Because when the Israelites realize where they're at and what's going on, this is how they responded. They said to Moses, is it because there are no graves in Egypt that you've taken us away to die in the wilderness? What have you done to us in bringing us out of Egypt? Is not this what we said to you in Egypt? Leave us alone that we may serve the Egyptians, for it would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the wilderness. Man, they're freaking out. They go, why are we here? What are you doing to us? What is the point of this? And honestly, that's my life. It's probably your life. We find ourselves asking God, God, why did you bring me here? God, why am I at this job? God, why did I am I in this marriage? God, why am I this way all the time? God, why? God, why? God, why? And here's the problem. Just like us, the Israelites are viewing their circumstance without reference to the fact the Lord himself brought them there. And many of you, where you're at today, you've forgotten who brought you there. Remember the first thing we say, the Lord said, turn back. The Lord had a better plan for them. The Lord had a better process for them. It wasn't about going the quickest way or the easiest way. The Lord said, turn back. And that's because in the plan, there is a process. There are things that are having to happen that take time, that we are in those moments. Man, we only care so often about being alive, living a happy, healthy life. But God said, I've got a better promise for you than that if you just keep moving forward. Right? God brought them there. And hindsight is always 20/20, isn't it? It's easier to know why God did something when you're on this side of it. It's like my high school girlfriend broke up with me a little over 10 years ago, scrolling through Facebook and see a picture. And I'm like, now I know why, God. Thank you. And she says the same thing. It's okay. So, we understand why God brought us there, right? Some things are easy. They're even funny to see why God did. But some things aren't that way, are they? Some things are painful and hard. As you scroll through Facebook and you see the family who just had their fourth kid, and you've been trying 7 years and you've not had one yet. Or you scroll through social media and you see the marriage that's always happy. They're always doing things together and laughing. And all you know of your marriage is a mess covered in a mask. Right, all you feel is this pain and loneliness, but everyone else around you has tons of best friends. They're always out on coffee dates and painting and all this other fun stuff, and you're always by yourself. And so it's harder to see the reason sometimes. And we often don't get the why. God doesn't often tell us why we're in that process or what he's doing in that process. For me in life, more times than not, God has wanted me to trust him and walk into something, not knowing the reason, not knowing the answer. But one of my favorite parts of scripture is that we can look back and see what God has done and know that he will be faithful again. And see, that's exactly what we see happening here. We see God giving an example of what is happening, what he has promised, what he is going to do, what they didn't expect. The Israelites have found themselves in a trap, and here's what God is now doing. Then Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord drove the sea back by a strong east wind all night and made the sea dry land, and the waters were divided. And the people of Israel went into the midst of the sea on dry ground, the waters being a wall to them on their right hand and on their left. See, there are those things in life that only can be possible by God. See, God had brought them into a situation that he's going to bring them out of. He, on his own, is moving the water so that his people can walk through. And this is exactly the place that God had them in Egypt. This is exactly the place that God had them now. It's exactly the place where you should be as well. God wants them and us to see that you can't do it without him. That's exactly why they're in the spot that they're in. And you ever think God's up there looking down going, hello, wake up. I have done this before. I will do it again. Why do you not think? I mean, the Israelites literally days before this had walked out of Egypt because of plagues. And now they're looking going, where's God? And what are you gonna do? And they found themselves stuck there in that moment. Have we really forgotten what he is going to do? You know, maybe that's the word you need today. Because as you look back on your life, you've already experienced your miracle. And so you think, well, I've already had mine. There's no more for me. God's not gonna do it again. Or maybe you think, I've made too many mistakes since the last one, and there's nothing left for me. But what you need to see, he has done it before. He will do it again. God has not forgotten about you. God still knows where you're at. God is still working in you. You're not by yourself. I want you to look at your neighbor right now and say, he will do it again. Man, y'all really getting the hang of it. Y'all felt that one. Y'all felt that one. See, the plan was always for God's people to be inconvenienced, for God's promises to be fulfilled. See, God didn't care about what was convenient. God cared about what he was doing. He was taking them a place to do something in their lives. And so what happens next? The Egyptians pursued and went in after them. Into the midst of the sea, all Pharaoh's horses, his chariots, and his horsemen. Man, your enemy is not casually coming after you. Your enemy's coming after you in a full-on pursuit for your life, for your soul, for everything that you have. Your enemy knows where you are, knows where you're going, and wants to attack you in those places. For you Bible scholars in the room, you know that Pharaoh having chariots was a big deal. Of that time, it was a weapon of mass destruction. It was a weapon capable of wiping out entire races of people, entire civilizations. Just like that, your enemy does have the best technology. Your enemy knows where you're headed and knows how to defeat you and is coming after you in this full-on pursuit. But see, we already know that God opened the sea and led the Israelites through. The Israelites are now on the other side of the sea, and God's saying, look back. I want to close this chapter of what's happening in your life. Verse 28 reads, the waters returned and covered the chariots and the horsemen of all the host of Pharaoh that had followed them into the sea. Not one of them remained, but the people of Israel walked on dry ground through the sea, the waters being a wall to them on their right hand and on their left. See, because what you just went through, God is now going to use to deliver you. Because what you just went through was never meant to kill you. It was always meant to kill your enemy. God wasn't trying to rid you of you. He was trying to rid you of your enemies. And many of you, the season you're in right now, God is trying to take something out of your life that if it's not removed, it's gonna kill you. God wants something better, but it's hard to see. But that's what we know, that through the process, we get the purpose. All along, God took them to the sea to give them freedom. God didn't want them to be temporarily free. He wanted them to be forever free. He wanted to remove their past so they can move into the future. Now, we didn't cover this today, but back in Exodus 3, verse 21, God had a conversation with Moses, and God promised Moses, he told Moses, I will bring you out, and you won't leave empty. He never said it was going to be easy. He never said it was going to be quick. He never said it was convenient, but he promised to triumph over his enemies. He promised he wouldn't leave empty. I need you to look at your neighbor right now and say, you won't leave empty. See, I think God brought some of you into this room today because you need to see he is faithful right now. Not tomorrow, not next year. He is faithful right now and you won't leave empty. God has a purpose in what he is doing in your life and you won't leave empty. God never wanted you to die in the sea. He wanted to kill your enemy. And you're probably thinking, wow, what a great sermon from the Old Testament. That's an old story. There's no wind blowing my problems away. I don't know about you, but my problems are real. They're right now. They're in front of me. And I don't know how I'm going to cross this sea, this issue. Man, when my wife and I got married 6 years ago, we had both escaped problems. We had both walked into this marriage with very dark, painful pasts. And we saw God giving us freedom and leading us to something better. And we married each other like, finally, we're moving on to the next thing, the better thing. And very quickly into that marriage, we began to realize that it wasn't going to be as easy as we thought. As a matter of fact, in our honeymoon, we got into an argument that would become a big deal. And week after week, month after month, we would fight and argue and yell and instantly began to think, why am I here? I know my sweet wife prayed for years. God, why am I here? But God was faithful. So over the course of about 3 years, that's all we knew of each other was hate and fights. And then in a church a lot like this one, God introduced us to an older couple who would begin to speak life to us. Who would begin to speak the hope of Jesus to us, the gospel to us. And overnight, our problems didn't blow away by a wind, but God slowly began to work in our lives. God began to work on me in a way that would forever change us. But let me tell you, in the midst of that sea, we didn't feel that way. We felt the burdens. We felt the pains, man. It hurt. But now we're on the other side of the sea, and God has allowed us to look back. And not only did he remove our enemies, but he's freed us and moved us into something better. See, all along, God was trying to do something. God has put so many young couples in our lives since then to speak life to, encouragement to, not just young couples. I spoke to an older woman who came up to me after last service who said, I'm encouraged by this because God is doing something. See, God brought us through that sea so that we could speak encouragement to the next set of people in that sea. God is working something in your life. I don't care how big the sea is in front of you, how much that problem weighs down on you. God is working a purpose in your life. And I know many of you have found yourselves in that trap right now where the decisions for your future, they're weighing down. They're just too much and you can't seem to find the answers. The debt has completely spun out of control. And even right now in these moments, you're thinking about how am I going to pay that bill tomorrow? The addiction is growing larger and larger and larger, and it won't be long until you're exposed and everyone around you knows who you are. The pain you feel has become this overwhelming, ever-present burden. And the question in your head is, God, where are you at? What could possibly be the purpose in all of this? Man, the story we heard today, the deliverer was Moses. But the deliverer of your story today is Jesus. Man, I didn't learn this, but a few years into my Christian walk, but everything is pointing to Jesus. See, Moses was a foretelling of something that would come for me and you. Moses was a foretelling of how we would be set free. And it wouldn't be through a simple man. It would be through the Son of God, a man born of flesh so that we could be free. Because the Red Sea was a massive separation, but is nothing to the separation of sin that we experience. Because 2,000 years ago, humanity, we found ourselves wedged in between our past and our future, the sin we had and the hell we deserved. But Jesus wanted something more for us. God wanted something more for us, so he sent his Son to die on a cross for us. And it wouldn't be easy. It wouldn't be easy. Jesus would find himself in the painful moments. He would find himself waiting in that plant in the garden, asking his Father, God, would you remove this from me? He knew what was to come. He would walk through the painful process for me and you, to be whipped, to carry his own cross up a hill and nailed to that cross. He would die on that cross for me and you. He knew the painful process to come. And they bury him in a tomb, but the point is there is a purpose in the process. So 3 days later, we know for a fact that the Son of God came back from the grave so that our sin couldn't hold us, that life couldn't hold us, that we would forever be able to find that freedom. See, God is working something in many of you right now. And there are two types of people in this room. There's the person you have never known the freedom. You have never known the saving grace of Jesus. All you've ever known is the weight of your sins and what you feel every day, even right now. And the reason you've never known freedom is because you've never known you're freer. See, Jesus came to set you free, not just now, but forever. And it's as simple as asking him for that forgiveness, asking him to be a part of your life. And we're going to give you that opportunity. And there's another group of people in this room that at some point in your life, you gave your life to Christ. You made a decision to follow Jesus with your life, but then you came to a sea at some point that was just too big. It was impassable. You thought, man, there's no way I'm going to get through this one. I'm just going to be stuck here to the day I die. But the problem is you've forgotten who brought you there. Many of you that see you stand in front of the Lord himself brought you to that moment because he wants to work something good in you. It's not about where you're going. It's about who you're going with. God needs you to see that he brought you there and he is doing something within you. And you think, God, you promised this, though. You promised me I wouldn't be alone. Where are my friends? God, you promised you would provide for me. Why are my finances failing? God, you promised me that he would love me more than his job. God, you promised she would respect me. God, you promised. And we ask this over and over. God, you promised. But here's what God promised. He promised he would send his son to be a slain lamb in our place so we wouldn't have to pay the penalty of our sin. That's what he promised and that's what he did. And many of you, here's the ultimate question. Do you care more about the promised land or the promised lamb? Because so many of you care more about where you're going than who you're going with. And you've forgotten who brought you to that moment. And my prayer, not just for you, but for me, is to remember why we're here. And it's because the Lord himself is doing something in you. Let's pray together. God, thank you so much for the way you love us. God, thank you so much for how much you gave for us. God, your word says, while we were sinners, your son came to a cross for us. And God, in those moments, you gave us everything. And there is nothing we could do to earn that. There's nothing we could do to lose that. God, you care so much about us. God, and I pray for the individual in this room who needs to give their life to you right now, that God, you would give them the strength and the courage to make that decision. And God, I pray for those in this room who stand facing a sea right now, whether it be their marriage, their finances, or their addiction, that God, you would remind them that you are working in them, not to kill them, but to kill their enemy. And God, I pray that you would just move in their life. You would speak to them right where they are, knowing you are all they will ever need. God, we love you so much, but you love us so much more. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.